to a TJSlideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios, just inside of Door, Michigan. Tonight, we have Kevin Oldham from HoseEds.com, various other print publications. Kevin and I sit down to break down the worst kept secret in motorsports, the dirt track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Rumored originally to be part of the Sprint Week festivities, now is set to make its debut in September with a giant two-day midget show as part of the Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard, powered by Florida Georgia Line NASCAR race weekend. It'll be on the Wednesday and Thursday leading into the NASCAR events, and a brand new dirt track being constructed in the infield with the help of the O'Connor family from Kokomo Speedway at Indianapolis. And this is a whole new ball game. Monster purse, $15,000 to win, two-day show, and a chance for someone in our sport to stand in victory lane at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So Kevin and I talk about our original skepticism when it came to the dirt track at Indianapolis, and also how excited we are about it because it's going to be a major midget event, and what this event could do for midget racing, or what it could do, and what it means to have another major midget event taking place, and also its role in having more midget racing in Indiana. So without further ado, here's Kevin and I breaking down the dirt track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kevin Oldham from HoseHeads.com. And Kevin, one of the worst kept secrets ever in short track racing kind of finally came to fruition this past Tuesday when the Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced they are going to build a dirt track for a major midget event on Brickyard 400 weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of a shock to me as well. We were talking before we went on the air here that, is this thing really going to happen? The rumor was obviously about Indiana Sprint Week and leaving that first night open as a TBA all this time, and more and more time went on, and it's like, I don't know how that's going to happen, and at least now, until September, I mean, there's plenty of time to get the dirt laid down, but who knows how it's all going to turn out. I was watching a thing yesterday Robin Miller had on speed.com, and he actually interviewed Reese O'Connor, and they're actually going to bank the track up. It's going to be flat on the bottom, about 6 degrees in the middle and about 12 to 14 degrees on the top, with concrete walls all around. And sounds really good. I just hope they have enough time. But, for the most part, July, August, the weather is going to be favorable for them in getting it constructed. But anytime you've got a new deal and the IMS is involved, it's something to get excited about.
And the money, too. I mean, it's incredible. $15,000 to win, and a pretty decent purse, like over $70,000. So for midget racing, another marquee event for a division that's lost so many marquee events over the past decade.
Yeah, for sure. The $70,000, I'd like to see how that's all spread out. But $15,000, nothing to shake a stick at. Chili Bowl, I think, still pays $10,000 to win. So this trumps that. But I'm kind of wondering what kind of car count we're going to see. I know in the USAC announcement, they were talking about the format, and they've already kind of have planned a G main, which includes cars 87th or higher in points. So, I would expect, you're going to see probably 60 to 70 cars. Maybe there will be 80. Who knows? Some of these guys will.
Every D2 midget in the country that anyone wanted to ever drive at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will be there, I think.
With it being on a Wednesday and a Thursday, I don't see any conflicts with PowerEye or anything like that. So it's really the right time of the year for it to happen. Also, early September, tracks are starting to close up a little bit, but for the most part, that's really a prime time to have a big race.
Yeah, I agree. And it could be interesting with the Wednesday-Thursday thing to see who we might end up with moonlighting in the midget division that week as well. I mean, there's plenty of talent in the division itself, but much like Turkey Night, we don't really know who might show up.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder how many cars Keith Coons will be able to bring out for this deal. You know, obviously during Indiana Midget Week, I think he had 9 at opening night at Montpelier, and you know, I would expect at least 9 from him. But you know, somebody like Tim Clawson, when I was watching that thing that Robin Miller had, he was talking about bringing a bunch of more cars out, maybe for some IndyCar guys. Now, you know, you won't see any Roger Penske drivers, I'm sure, in one of those midgets, but you know, we keep hearing about guys like James Hinchcliffe and Marco Andretti, who's buddies with Tony Stewart now, and James Hinchcliffe. I may have already said his name once already, but anyway, sounds like there are. Gabby Chavez was the other guy I was trying to think of, but sounds like some guys are interested, but you know, you may be more better served to have like a hot lap session for IndyCar drivers or a little heat race for the IndyCar drivers. But I don't know that anyone's going to be so bold to go out there and try and compete head to head when they've got a double points finale, I think, the next weekend.
Yeah, I think that you might see some practice laps and some guys maybe that are in contention for that championship, but I find, you know, it's easy to talk. We'll see who actually shows up and is allowed to, for that matter. It could be a lot of slapping.
Yeah, I mean, most of those guys, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry. And, you know, if this were after the season, maybe you might see more of that. But you're right, the moonlighting with NASCAR, you know, I would expect, you know, a Justin Allgaier and you know, not even NASCAR, but Hudson O'Neill, that's Don O'Neill's kid. He's been running some midgets so far this year, and he flipped pretty hard at Putnamville during Indiana Midget Week. But, you know, a guy like him or maybe a Bobby Pierce, you know, it's a high-profile race, and, you know, something like the Chili Bowl, I would expect some people are already lining up rides for that. And maybe it's going to be one of those rent-a-ride deals for a lot of car owners to make some money.
Yeah, the Chili Bowl slumlords will have another payday. And,
yeah, no doubt. I mean, not that Davey Ray is a Chili Bowl slumlord, but I did read somewhere where he said he's putting 2 brand new cars together right now. So so it sounds like the opportunities are out there, and people's you know, the wheels are turning inside their heads to try and make money.
Not only that, but it's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, I mean, if you're a race car driver, very few and far between don't dream of at least getting a chance to race there. So, I mean, there is that carrot out there, too.
For sure. I mean, if it were me and I had, you know, I were 20 years younger, maybe I would be willing to find some money or take out a loan to try and get that opportunity. I mean, even if it's $10,000, it's like, that's a lot cheaper than $250,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, right? So there's your chance to run at Indy. I mean, the best that I ever did was I rode my bike around there nine laps when I was about 13 years old. So that's all I got to do. But yeah, Indy is still big, and regardless of whether or not the Brickyard is a marquee event anymore, a question I have to you is, you know, the cost of this thing, putting this track up, is, somebody told me already about $350,000 is what they think they're going to have to spend to do this. And are they going to be able to get that back and increased admissions for the Brickyard 400? I don't know. What do you think?
You know, to me, if you're spending that much money, is it just a one-year venture? How long are you potentially trying to spread that cost out over, you know, turning around on the accountant here. But I mean, to me, if you're spending that kind of money, it doesn't seem like to me, unless it's a complete cluster, that you're doing this just for 1 year.
Right. It would seem like you're right. I mean, you're going to buy that dirt. You're going to store it somewhere. You're going to have the walls. You're going to the fencing. You're going to have all that stored somewhere so you can do just like the Chili Bowl, where you can set this thing up. It might take a while, might take some manpower to do that, but once you've done it once, do it again and again and again. I mean, if they put up 5,000 seats and they sell them out, hey, put up, you know, 10,000 seats next year and, you know, charge a little more. I don't know. I like the idea of it. I'm excited about it, and for the most part, there aren't too many things that I get excited about in racing anymore. I mean, once you've been doing it as long as you and I have, it takes a lot to get the juices flowing, and this gets the juices flowing.
One aspect of this I kind of find fun is watching Doug Bowles at the Speedway as president. I see his interactions with fans and social media activity and everything else he does. I always look at him, I go, he would make a great short track promoter. Now we get to see him actually try to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen him at races in the area. And I remember even the night, actually it was during the day when they were having the Brian Clausen tribute deal and the tornado came through Kokomo Speedway, and Doug Bowles was up there for that. You know, he survived the tornado. So, he's a very dedicated guy, very passionate guy, and he gets it. He gets that whole that route system that, you know, Randy Bernard and Robin Miller were trying to foster that, 7-8 years ago, and that's what got Clausen his shot at Indy. But, you know, Doug Bowles gets it. He gets it. That the little guy. I mean, you can actually talk to the guy or call him up at the Speedway and say, hey, if you need tickets, you know, he'll say, call me, and you'll actually get to talk to him. And my dad actually has talked to him. So that's really a cool thing, and rare in this day and age.
And, of course, to get this thing built and prepared, they got the O'Connor family, which is another thing they have on their side. It seems like an impossible task, but there's only a few people I would entrust to doing something like this, or at least even making it remotely possible, and they would be one of them.
Oh, for sure. I mean, speaking of that, at least some of those Kokomo SmackDown weekends where it seems like they get constantly flooded with rain. I mean, the grounds are low there, and they always have to be pumping water out and so forth. But, I mean, I remember one of those years they had a daytime race, and it was, you know, normally you think a daytime dirt show, oh, that's going to be dry, slick, rubber down, whatever. It was probably one of the best shows I saw all year, and the track was fantastic. So yeah, I mean, whatever, you know, if there's an impossible thing to get done, Reese O'Connor is your man. You know, he's going to find a way to make it happen, because I don't know if there's anybody who's willing to work as hard as that guy. And it seems like whatever he touches, it turns to gold. And so that's a great thing for sure. And I look forward to seeing, you know, what kind of racing that track is going to put on. I mean, I sincerely hope that they're able to get that figured out to where that dirt can mold together and not break apart. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a racetrack try and come together that soon with banking and walls. The Chili Bowl, it's pretty much flat, but this deal is going to have 14 degrees of bank, so that'll be interesting for sure. But I like their chances with Reese being involved.
I do too, and I feel a lot better about it being in September compared to trying to push it for Sprint Week or something. Because
oh yeah, if they would have had to have tried to do that, people were saying that they were going to announce it after the 500, and you know, they would have to have had the track done basically in about a month and a half. I'm like, wow, that's going to be tough. Even if you worked every day on it, I don't know how that's possible to get everything in place. But I feel a lot better given, like I said, the weather is just going to be a lot more favorable between now and September 5th to be able to get it done for sure.
Yeah, because you think about the amount of rain we've had since the Indianapolis 500, and if they would have tried to pull this together, it wouldn't have happened. There's no way.
Right. Definitely not. So yeah, it's the buzz right now. I know tickets, I think, go on sale mid-July. I actually signed up for the email yesterday once I got wind of the whole deal, just to make sure I'd be able to get in there, because 5,000 seats, that might sell out pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, Indianapolis has a lot of, not just race car fans, but has a lot of place car fans, where people are fans of the Speedway itself, and putting a new event out there like this and such. I think there's going to be, not only you're going to have your sprint car midget people, but you're going to have fans of the facility too that are going to want to come check this out and see what's going on.
Yeah, plus I just saw they have camping that will be available. So
more
excuse for people to, you know, that the multi-day USAC shows are a big deal now with campers. I mean, it's hard to even find spots at the track to park if you get there late because of all the campers. And not that that's a bad thing. That's a good problem to have. But with the camping involved, you may see it might be a hardcore deal for sure. But for the most part, like you said, I think you're going to get those, I don't want to call them Johnny-come-latelys. You call them, what did you call them again?
Yeah, place car. Yeah, they're fans of the facility. Car, yeah. So, yeah.
Yep.
And the other aspect of this is this being a night event too, like the tailgating is going to be hardcore during the day, which is going to be a completely different dynamic for that place.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So it's the whole thing is fascinating. I have full confidence, you know, with Reese being involved and USAC sanctioning it that, it should go off well. You're going to get the cars. You're going to get the drivers. So really, they just need to get it done.
Yeah, you'd think that every push truck in the state of Indiana would want to at least get involved in this thing so we could keep the show moving, too. I expect a Knoxville Raceway, Knoxville National-style push-off to every race there because how many times are you going to have a chance to push at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Good question, but that's, they – should have plenty of help, and I don't know what 15,000 to win. I'm wondering, it's like maybe they could push that to 25,000 to win in the coming years. 15 sounds good, but 25 sounds better.
Yeah, the thing is though, if you have 70 that show up for 15, I don't know if you really need to do much more than that. But and plus, I think it could pay $15 to win, and for where it's at and the chance to stand in victory lane there, I think you'd probably still have 40.
For sure. I mean, it's definitely the prestige thing more than the money. But hey, they're throwing that money up there, and that's all good. And I think I was talking with my buddy Bryce Townsend during Indiana Midget Week, and he said, hey, if I ever win the lotto, I'm going to have this World Midget Tour, and I'm going to pay $20,000 to win every night, and I'm going to get all these sprint car guys to get off the sprint cars and go to midgets, and for that money, would Donnie Schatz even come run this race?
No.
Would he run Jim Clausen car?
I don't know. It's Indianapolis Motor Speedway, though. My first reaction is no. But then I go think about it. I'm like, well, it is IMS. But that's an interesting point, too. Is this announced soon enough that it could catch the eye of some of the international teams to want to send a car over?
Yeah. I think there's definitely enough time to do that. Looking at those dates, I would guess getting back to Schatz, I would guess they're probably in California at that point in time, but he flies back and forth, so hard to say. I haven't looked at the Outlaw schedule to see if there's any conflicts there, but even if you don't have the Outlaw guys, you're going to have plenty of the NASCAR guys, plenty of the normal midget guys, plenty of the normal USAC sprint car guys, but it would be, that's the thing about racing these days, and the most exciting stuff I see is when you see everybody come together at one race, which is rare. I mean, that's why Chili Bowl is so exciting, that you get all that that interaction between the different drivers from the different series. But who knows? You might see some of that, given that it's IMS.
Yeah, and it's something new, and I think this is a big thing. And it's got that thing like this. We talk about, well, you wouldn't spend all this money and just do it for 1 year. This may only happen once. I mean, there's no guarantee this is going to happen again.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to say. You can't predict what the weather's going to be like either. I would assume it's going to be okay. I mean, it's never really a rainy season early September here, but I don't know. It would have to be a total fiasco for it not to happen next year. I think you're right. Thinking of it from the accounting standpoint, If the costs are that high to get this constructed, there's no way that they have it in mind that it's just going to be a one-off deal. But I don't know. I mean, it's all positive news, though, like you said, and it's great for midget racing because you don't have a Hut 100 anymore. You don't have the Gold Crown Nationals, which was a high-paying race over at Granite City. You just don't have a ton of midget races anymore, let alone high-paying midget races. And that's all always a good thing. And it's two more races in Indiana. I was just looking at the schedule earlier today, knowing I was going to be on here, and I was counting up, and there were only 8 out of 22 races on the USAC midget schedule that are in the state of Indiana. And now there's two more, so it's 10 out of. Now it's 10 out of 24. So the ratio is a little better, but unfortunately we've lost 3 of those to rain. So, and I don't see them getting rescheduled necessarily because we know how that goes these days. But anyway, I'm just happy that there's two more USAC midget races on the schedule because Indiana Midget Week was an exciting week this year as it was last year. I think last year my two best races of the year were during Indiana Midget Week, and it's always an exciting deal. And I try and tell everybody it's really the world's best kept secret as far as great racing. And whether or not you like sprint cars or you like midgets, you get both. It's definitely the best of both worlds, but the midgets definitely make the show. And I'm just excited that there's two more shows to see.
It's kind of fun because there used to be the 16th Street Speedway across the street, and then you and I both were at the last race at the new, I use the air quote, 16th Street down the road, and now we get midgets back in downtown Indianapolis, and it might be just for 2 days only, but that fact alone, just in that city, I think it's just going to be an awesome vibe all the way around.
Yeah, I was exactly thinking of that when I saw this announcement. It reminded me back in early 90 or late 96, early 97, when that announcement came out that they were turning the old Busch Stadium for the Indianapolis Indians into a racetrack. And I was so pumped up for that. And to see, this news come out just yesterday, I mean, it was that same giddiness and enthusiasm and interest. And, I'm excited about it and hope it's a multi-year deal.
Yeah, I do too. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you taking time out to discuss this topic with us because I knew we were both pretty passionate about this, and I don't know about you, but I'm hyped for September already.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm definitely going to be there. Even if I am a paying customer, it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm willing to support Doug Bowles and everything he does, and I'm a huge fan of his and what he does with the 500, and if that correlates what he's done with the 500 with this midget deal, it's all going to be good. And I'm really happy that midget racing gets a showcase event outside of the Chili Bowl.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. I'd like to thank Kevin Oldham for taking time out of his busy schedule to join us on the TJ Slideways podcast this evening. Of course, don't forget to support our fine sponsors on TJSlideways.com, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, All-Star Performance, and Slade Shock Technology. You can subscribe to the TJSlideways.com podcast on the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, and also on Podbean. Another edition in the can here from the studio in Door, Michigan. Looking forward to getting out to the races this weekend, and hopefully we see you there too. Thanks for listening, and hey, be safe going down the road, and hope to see you at the racetrack very, very soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.